Hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me here on our first show of 2014. Thank you so much for being here on Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. I am your host, C. Maria Wall, and I am so excited because if you don't know, if you have not heard all of the hype about the year of 2014, this is the year of double portions and change. So tonight, what better way to start off our new season and, of course, the new year with a special guest who's going to share her story of change and how she has overcome the obstacles of her past to become this powerful sister that she is today. My guest this evening is Cheryl E. Roberts, and Cheryl was born in Sylvester, Georgia, and moved to Houston, Texas when she turned 4 years old. She graduated from Sam Rayburn High School and went on to DeVry University. Cheryl is an incest survivor. She had overcome obstacles stemming from that hurtful part of her life, such as depression, suicide, and self-loathe, started Life of Hope After Abuse, LAA, in 2006. LAA is a nonprofit organization promoting awareness against sexual abuse and helping other victims get the help they need to overcome this traumatic experience. In Cheryl's words, she says, God has given her a voice, and she encourages others to use theirs. She is no longer a victim, but a vessel. And with that said, we're going to welcome Cheryl to Healing Through Hurt. So Cheryl, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Welcome to Healing Through Hurt.
And Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'd have it no other way. I believe that this year, one of the things that I am expressing so much is that this is the year of change and the year of prosperity and things like that, but people cannot move forward until they make peace with their past. So, with that said, I want the listeners, let's set this up for the listeners. Right now, Cheryl has overcome so much. She's here. She's moving forward. She's turned her pain, passion, and power, her tragedy, to triumph. So tonight, we're starting a series of how to move forward, how to become positive, how to grab the positive from this life, this atmosphere. Because the power of positive is a wonderful thing. So Cheryl is going to share with us how she has overcome. So,
thank you once again for having me tonight. It's such an honor. I really thank God that He has brought me through so much, and I'm alive to even tell the story. My abuse began at the age of 4 with a cousin, and then it began again at the age of 8, so I was 15, and by a sibling. And throughout my life, pretty much just dealing with low self-esteem and pretty much hated my very existence, and I didn't love who I was. And so, you know, I did a lot of things to, I guess, numb the pain. I graduated from high school and left home thinking, you know, if I left, you know, that place, that it would get better and I would forget it. And in turn, it got worse, and to the point where I turned to alcohol. And I had grew up with a father who was an alcoholic. So I had always told myself, you know, I wasn't going down that route. But in that situation, in that pain, that's one of the things that, you know, I ran to. And so I began to drink, you know, trying to numb the pain, trying to forget it. And, you know, drink until I would pass out. And, you know, and it never helped because, you know, when I woke up, I was still hurting and in that pain. So just doing different things, you know, just to, like, try and forget about it. Because I didn't want to tell anyone because of the I guess I was afraid because I didn't know how people would treat me. I didn't want to tell my mom. My mom had been through so much with, you know, my dad and however. So it was like, you know, from, you know, a little girl till a grown woman, I kept this pain hidden. And when I turned 28, that's when, you know, it all came back. Because, you know, I, for years, you know, pretty much blocked it out. And when I was 28, for some reason, God brought it up. And even then, it was, it began to overwhelm me and control, you know, my actions, who I was. And so I wanted to tell someone, but it was like I was still in that afraid because I didn't know how people would react. And so God sent this lady to me that I had worked with for over a year. And, you know, we weren't really friends. You know, we would speak. You know, she worked the morning shift. I worked the night shift. But it was like God sent her to me on this specific day. I was just, like, really low and just about to just pop pretty much because it was just so devastating. And she began to pray with me, and I began to get comfortable. I still hadn't told her, you know, what was going on with me. We just, you know, began to hang out and to the point where I got to the place where I could trust her. And then it's like I blurted it out. And it was like, it was almost like it shocked me because I didn't know her reaction. But, you know, instead of, like, downing me or making me feel bad, she actually supported me. And, you know, she prayed with me. And she's the one who actually encouraged me to get the counseling. Because, you know, growing up in the urban community, counseling was never heard of. It was like, you know, what goes on in a house stays in the house. And so it was like we had to, I guess, wear that weight. And talking about that kind of stuff to, you know, a doctor, you know, that just was unheard of. So eventually, you know, I got to the place where, okay, maybe this will work. So once I began to kind of go and talk, you know, get a little relief, it still wasn't to the point where, you know, I was just ready to just, you know, let people know. And it was still, I was still at this point where I was still angry. I had a lot of hatred built up because it was like I was stuck in this home where I couldn't move, I couldn't grow, I couldn't live. And, you know, my sibling, you know, he was moving on with his life, was married. And, you know, I was just livid, you know, with just hatred. And I think my turning point was when I was so angry, I took a butcher knife out of my kitchen and was going to his house. And my intent was to kill him because, you know, the hatred had overcome me. It just, it was like, you know, either he's going to die, you know, or I'm going to kill myself because, you know, I've tried so many times to commit suicide, but, you know, God kept his hand on me. And it was like every time, you know, I would try to take pills or drive off the highest freeway, you know, God, in that those very moments, kept me. And so it was like at that turning point, you know, I had this intent to just go and kill him. And the person that was going alongside of me, she kept calling because she knew a lot of times those bad days. So she would call me and check on me and what have you. And for some reason, she kept calling my phone. And as soon as I pulled up in front of my brother's house, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and answer this phone because, you know, she's going to keep calling. And as soon as she answered the phone, she was like, you know, whatever you're about to do, don't do it. And at that moment, it was like, okay, God, I have to do something. Because, you know, if I would have gone through with that, I wouldn't be here. I would be in jail or something, and he would be dead. And so it was like, you know, that was my turning point to begin the healing, because I got tired of being the victim at that point. I got tired of my abuse and him controlling me. So I began to do the counseling. You know, I took it seriously. I began to do the work, you know, and, you know, it just got to the point where I needed to live, because if I didn't deal with it, I was going to die, because mentally, physically, emotionally, I was just gone. And, but it was just the grace of God that kept me, even in those crazy moments, even in those moments where, you know, I ran with him home, you know, getting in cars with guys that I didn't even know. Those crazy moments, God kept me for a reason, and I know what my purpose is today, and that's to be a voice for those who, you know, who have lost their voice because of their abuse and who are afraid to just speak out. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, it wasn't easy, you know, saying even those words, being molested or raped, you know, those were one of the hardest words that I had to ever speak. But, you know, but once I began to speak those words and began to speak about it, you know, it took a lot of the pain out of it, because I began to just let it go. And so, you know, I'm just grateful that, you know, God has allowed me and, you know, chosen me to be a vessel to, you know, help others and to let them know there is hope after abuse.
I know that, you know, you say that this started at such a young age. When you were 4, did you even realize that what was happening to you was very wrong? Or, and I guess the second part of my question is, do you remember anyone even attempting or noticing a change in you, or that, or questioning, or did it just go over everyone's head?
It went over everyone's head, because at that moment, at that time, the reason we were moving from Georgia because of my mom and my dad were separating. So we went to stay with a cousin until my brothers from Houston come down to with a U-Haul truck or whatever. And so we were staying at a cousin's house. And, you know, back then, you know, sleeping in the same bed with girls and boys, that was just, you know, just something that they did. And so I knew when touched me, I knew that was wrong. It wasn't supposed to be that way. And so I knew, I was like, you know, but I was afraid to tell anyone, because, you know, my mom had been through so much, and I didn't want to put her through anything else. So, you know, I just didn't say anything. And now, looking back, I understand why, I guess, it went over people's heads, because it's been generational. All of my sisters were abused. So, and I'm the youngest out of, my mom had 16 kids, but it's 9 of us living, and it's 5 girls. And all 5 girls have been molested. So I see now that it was just something that they overlooked or just didn't want to deal with. And so, you know, just, I guess, taking it all by yourself, that's really a hard thing. As a 4-year-old, you know, trying to not say anything and just not, I guess, change. Just, you know, you try to keep the same personality so people won't mm-hmm. ask you. So, you know, I dealt with that a lot. And I got really good at hiding things that were bothering me. So, you know, it was just something that we didn't talk about. But, yeah, I knew at the beginning it was something wrong. But it was just, I was too afraid to say anything.
How old was your cousin?
My cousin, he was maybe 11.
So he knew better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As you, do you still see him today? And has he ever acknowledged what he did or asked for forgiveness or anything? Or is it just like words unspoken? You know, one of those, it's in the past, let it go kind of things.
No, actually, my cousin, I haven't seen since I was 8. My dad died when I was 8 years old, so we went back to Georgia for the funeral, and that was the last time I saw him. But my brother, I still see, and now it's, you know, when I see him, it's not like, you know, I'm angry anymore. He doesn't have that control over me, so it's not like what have you. He hasn't apologized. He's still denying it, but, you know, I've moved on, and so it's, you know, it is what it is, but no, apologies, no. Acknowledgement, no.
So we're coming
on. And they probably won't, but, you know.
I understand this because I've gone through a similar situation, and I don't even expect it anymore, but
right,
the point
right.
is that you've gotten to that point where you're speaking your truth. You are freeing your soul. You are healing
yes.
your heart, mind, body, and spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It's your
and
truth.
It seems like the more I talk about it,
mm-hmm.
the freer I get, you know, and the more I see that, you know, God, you know, hand is on my life because, you know, that was a time where, like I said before, just saying those words was just, you know, would get me into this place of depression. You know, I just couldn't
mm-hmm.
move. I was just bound by those words and just the pain of it all. But it's like now, you know, it's even still healing. I mean, because it's, you know, because I mentor a lot of young ladies, and hearing their stories a lot of times, you know, it may bring me back to my childhood, but it doesn't cripple me. It doesn't control me like it used
right.
to. So just speaking more about it, it's relieving. It's healing, I mean, on a daily basis. So, I mean, you know, and I just, you know, thank God that I'm in a place where, you know, just helping others get the help, you know, because trust me, it was like when God, you know, was telling me, okay, now it's time for you to do this, I was like, no, I don't think I want to do that, you know, because I wasn't the talkative type. I wasn't, you know, trying to be in people's faces or in front of crowds talking and stuff. I'm like, God, you're funny. Mm-mm, that's not for me. But, you know, once I just sat down and was like, okay, God, whatever you have for me to do, I'm going to do it. So it's like, you know, it's amazing how God can just turn things around in your favor. So, yeah, it's free.
To our guest, thank you for joining me here this evening on Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. My special guest is Shirley Roberts. She's sharing her story, Triumph from Tragedy. And tonight, for those guests who are in the chat room, you're signed in as guest. If you would like to participate or speak with Cheryl, you can do that two ways. Log in, visit us on Facebook at the Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio's community page, or give us a call at 646-478-4726. Then press the number 1 on your phone to let me know that you would like to be on air, with Cheryl. So, you said that you discovered that all of your, something's caller in the query, caller 1145, I will be bringing you on air in one moment. So, you saw that there was a pattern in the family. Mm-hmm. When you speak to your siblings, are they at that point where you are, or are they just trying to forget what they had gone through?
Trying to forget. When I first began to speak about my abuse controversy, they were angry at me because they felt like I shouldn't be doing that. You know, they just wanted me to keep quiet about it. But now they support me in my, and I guess they come out to my events now, and but they still are in that I don't want to deal with mentality with their own life. So, you know, but I had gotten to the point where, you know, my nieces were being abused, and I couldn't just keep quiet any longer, you know. Even today, one of my sisters is still married to one of the pedophiles, and so, you know, it's still in the family. So
right.
The more I speak about it, you know, it has to stop somewhere, you
right.
know. And I'm tired of being quiet. I'm tired of just pushing it under the rug. And you know, as much as I can, however
mm-hmm.
I can expose the enemy, I will, because I mean, at some point it has to stop, and it will stop. So, you know, but,
right.
you know, I just have to continue to pray that they
mm-hmm.
will get to that mindset to where they want to deal and handle it, because they still embrace the ones that abuse us. So,
right.
You know, I just pray for them and, you know, and eventually just, you know, pray that they get to the point where they want to deal. But at this point, no. They're just kind of living.
Right. Okay, we have some callers. Welcome to all of the callers joining me here on the call query and, of course, in the chat room. We're about to take a caller here in a few moments, but to the guests in the chat room, there's several ways you can get involved. If you have a question or a comment, you can either log on to Blog Talk and come back to the chat room and ask your question or make your comment there, or you can give us a call at 646-478-4726. Then press the number 1 on your phone. That will let me know that you would like to be on air. So with that said, we're going to take our first caller, caller 1145. You are live on air with Cheryl.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hello.
I'm good. I have a question. So I'm speaking about abuse. We know that that's an epidemic that does not seem to go away, and it's become almost like everyday living now, which is sad to say. What are some of the ways, being a survivor of incest and of rape and sexual abuse and knowing just some of the signs, what are some of the tips that you can give parents that are listening that may have small children that may be experiencing this now or have experienced it? What are some of the tips that you can give to a parent that's listening that they can start looking for to identify if this is going on in their household? And then my second question to that, children that have been abused or that are suffering abuse now, what are some things you would suggest that we would be able to help them overcome what they've gone through so that they don't have to wait like some of us who, you know, have been victims and we didn't get our healing or deliverance from it until we were in our 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. You know, what are some of the things that we can do now to help those young people overcome that hurt and begin their healing process now so that it does not have an impact on their future?
Okay. The first question, some of the signs. For one, when they begin to withdraw, when they have been this, I guess, lively child, you know, playing, and then all of a sudden they begin to withdraw, begin to, their attitudes change. They begin to feel like they don't want to go to a certain place or be around a certain person. Their grades change. They're making A's, and then all of a sudden, you know, the grades begin to drop. Eating habits, they stop eating or eating too much. Weight gain, weight loss. But the one that a lot of parents miss is when I was saying about going around someone that they've always been, you know, used to going around or didn't mind going around, and then all of a sudden they're fighting you not to go over there. And a lot of parents, they kind of push like, you know, girl, stop, or boy, stop being, you know, rebellious. You're going to go over there. A lot of parents miss that. And so that should be one of the light bulbs that come, that, you know, it's like, okay, why is this changing? You know, why is she or he's crying not to go over there when usually they're running to go over there? So, you know, begin to ask what's going on. Don't just assume that they're just going through, you know, kid stuff or, you know, they're going through puberty or whatever. Begin to ask questions. Why they're changing, why their attitude is changing, why their grades are dropping. Don't just, you know, assume stuff, you know. A lot of parents just overlook those kind of things. And so I know for me, I know if I would have gone to my mom, I think I would have gotten in trouble. And so Portis, if a child comes to you and says, you know, someone's touching me or someone did something inappropriate to me, don't scream at that child. Support the child. Listen to that child, and then you get help. Go to the authorities. And then a lot of times, you know, counseling helped. Counseling was one of the avenues that I took, and it was, I mean, it was the best, one of the best things I could have done, because they are professionals to, you know, get you through different things, have you to do different assignments to deal with those pains. So, you know, for parents, just listen to the child. Don't judge them. Don't, you know, I've come in contact with a couple of parents where, you know, one of the girls told their dad, and she got in trouble, got whipped, because he was like, you're not supposed to be saying stuff like that. And a lot of times parents, you know, they, I guess they don't know how to deal with it, or just don't know how to react. And so they, you know, just begin to scream at the child for no reason. but just support and love them and let them know that they didn't do anything wrong and get the help.
Okay. May I contribute to this as well? A lot of times, we as parents, especially in this day and age, we're so busy trying to stay above water that we don't even realize what's going on in our environment. And one of the biggest things is to develop that line of communication, especially if you have younger children. If you start when they're very young and you continue it, they'll always feel comfortable talking to you.
Right.
Let them know that you have that parental open door policy and you're not going to just jump on them. And take what children say seriously. You know, a lot of times people look at children as objects and not as human beings. And that's where the problem comes in. Sometimes, in hindsight, we'll sit back and say, well, you know, they did do this or they did change, but it is so important to develop. I'm not even saying keeping that line open, because if you develop it from the very beginning, it's going to be there, and it will grow with you and your child. So
let them know that they have a safe place to come, you know, that you support them.
Right. And there's nothing more than knowing that your safe haven is at home with a parent or that caregiver where they know that they can run and feel safest. Because I'll tell you, you know, from my personal experience as well, when you're young and you're out there and you're by yourself, or even if you have to go and get help from the neighbor or someone else, in hindsight, you know, that hurts as well. Because the question is, why didn't you, as my caregiver, as my parent especially, why didn't you protect me? So that in turn causes more problems down the road.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So we have to be so mindful of the main part of this is to develop that line of communication. Young children have a way of expressing what they're feeling. The mind of a child, give them some paper and some crayons or do a role play. They're going to role play and they're going to play out what they have seen and what they have experienced. And if it's something not right about that role play, it's time for you to get proactive.
And I tell, you know, parents all the time, you know, if your child comes to you and tells you something like that, don't ignore it. You know, because you may be the only person that they can come to. So, you know, that they feel safe. So if they tell you that, you know, don't ignore it. Get help. So, you know, because it's hard for a child to just come out and say, you know, my dad did this or my mom did this. You know, that's some hard words to release. And so when you hear that, you know, make sure you take action.
If you find yourself in this type of situation, give yourself a moment to respond and not react. Because when we react, that's when we'll pick up the belt or whatever and start beating on the child because it's a shock. It's just human nature. It's a shock. And we don't know what to do if we hear something like that. So you have to give yourself that moment to regroup and get yourself together so that you can properly assess the situation.
Exactly. Because even when I was a grown woman, when I finally told my mom about my abuse, and you know, I didn't get the reaction that I wanted, that I needed at that time. And so, even you know, at 28, 29, you know, that feeling of being let down again, you know, just took over. And it was like, huh, you know, I really needed that support from you, you know, but I didn't get it. So, you know, as a child, that's, you know, that's even double the heartache, not being believed by your parent or, you know, getting in trouble because you told. So, you know, just always listen to the child, you know, and support them and love them. And don't make them feel, you know, less than. You know, make them feel loved. And let them know that you are there, you know.
Yeah. Because there's nothing worse to a child than growing up feeling invisible without a voice.
Yes, yes, yes.
You have any other questions or comments?
I actually just posted one on the page, but that's it
okay.
for now. Thank you.
Okay, if you posted it there, I will get to it in a moment, and I will read that as well. So thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great show.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry, caller. You were saying something?
I was saying thank you, and it's a great show so far, Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hope it helps.
Okay. And for our other callers here, if you'd like to be on air, Preston up. You got another one coming. Okay. Press the number 1 on your phone, and I will bring you on air to speak with my guest this evening, Shirley Roberts, and guest caller number 7755. You are live on air. Caller, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, ma'am?
I'm blessed. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm sorry. Hold on just a moment. I'm so sorry.
Sure.
My other phone was ringing. But I have thoroughly enjoyed everything that I've heard thus far and wanted to say that I, too, am a survivor of child abuse, sexual abuse, and spousal abuse. And when the lady who was speaking about making sure to have the open communication with your child, mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that's very, very important. I have 3 children, and I have 2 older boys and a daughter. And from as early as I can remember, I think my oldest son was about 2 years old when I first started talking to him about sex, period. Dr. Moody called The Miracle of Life. When he was 2 years old, he was able to talk. He was able to comprehend really well. So I had him watch that. And then I followed suit with my next son and then also with my daughter. And I've always taught them about the good touch and the bad touch. And more so, I should say, with my daughter, even though I did talk about it a lot with my son, but with my daughter the most. Because, you know, with her being a female and me having gone through and survived molestation and rape myself, I was very, and I still am very, protective of her. And I don't wait for her to come and ask me. You know, there was a while where I just basically was asking her on a weekly basis, has anybody touched you? And she's now 11 years old, and she knows on her body there's a square, and nobody can touch her inside of that square. And she is very, very protective of that. Even if her dad, like, touches her back, she'll immediately say, you're touching me in my square. So I just wanted to comment and say it's very important for parents, if you're out there, if you have children, as the lady said before, start at an early age with them and let them know that you have an open door policy and that there is nothing that they cannot come to you with. And also assure them, as with my abuser would tell me that he would beat me up if I told anybody. Mm-hmm. And I would just tell my daughter, no one is going to harm you. I will always be here to protect you. And just feel free. Always, always come and tell me, and don't ever be afraid to tell me.
And allow me to interject for a moment with what you just said, caller. Another thing is to let children know that their mouths should not be on, like you said, that square on somebody else, or better yet, on anybody, period.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, we have those people that want children to touch them and do things to them. So it's very important to make sure that they understand the biggest picture possible. Don't put your lips anywhere. Don't let anyone put their lips on you.
Right.
You don't touch anybody. And, you know, this is great because I hope that all of the listeners this evening are taking notes. You know, and then other people, if you're family members and you see something that maybe the parents or the caregivers aren't noticing, if you see something, tell someone.
Yes. Yeah,
the time to be, there's so many people out here who are crying out in silence, who are going unnoticed. I recently had a family member tell me that they always knew that there was something wrong when I was younger. But it almost cut through me like a knife because I was like, and you said and did nothing.
Right.
That was a comment they could have kept to themselves. And me, at this point in my life, I'm a half a hundred years old. And it hurts no less.
Right.
It hurts no less.
You're right.
But,
you're right.
You know, I had to look for the answers, look for the help, and just figure out how to heal for my sanity. So that I could move forward, so that I could become the voice of those who are still sitting in silence, so that there would be, you know, I created all of this for as a vessel for the Sheryls in the world, and of course the me, the Marias in the world, and like you, caller, and everyone else. It is so, it's empowering to know that so many people are coming out, and I'm still in shock and awe, and I've been working in this realm for a long time now, and I'm still in shock and awe of so many people who are actually living with these ghosts of their past and sitting in silence still.
Right.
So it is so amazing. So, and this is my show, but I am so feeling so empowered and energized by this right now.
Right.
Because even I know that, wow, I'm not alone. I wasn't alone then. But I'm still not alone. And Cheryl, you have questions in the chat room I'll be reading in a moment. So, so to the caller, do you have any closing questions or comments?
I wanted to say, you know, about the mouth. I did not, and that's a very good point because my abuser did have me perform oral sex on him. I probably was about, I'm thinking, 7 or 8 years old, and he did. And I talked to my daughter about that, but I don't think I may have stressed to her that, you know, for her not to put her mouth on anyone. But I think I told her enough, you know, to let her know to not do that, and that's wrong. So, but that is very important because, of course, her mouth would not be inside of her square. So
right.
To make it a point to speak with her about that too as well.
And I commend you for just being, you know, that parent, you know, to share things like that with her and to, you know, ask and talk to her. You know, a lot of parents don't do that, and I commend you and just keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, I appreciate it. I wanted to say one other thing. Whenever I think it was Ms. Shirley was saying that people in the community or people would say that they thought that something was going on with her. But when I shared with my dad, when my dad finally asked me at age 15, you know, if I was a virgin, and of course I tell him no. And then I began to tell him about the abuse that I had suffered. And they told me out of his mouth was he figured it was going on. And today, I'm 44 years old. I'm 44, God. I'm 44 years old. And today, it does not hurt any less than it did when I was 15 years old, when he
exactly.
told me that he figured it was going on.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, if you figured it was going on, why didn't you ask me? And he
right.
said he asked the abuser. And the abuser denied it. And he was satisfied with his answer.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. Wow.
But that's exactly what I was saying. People do exactly that. They know what's going on. And, you know, my question would have been, wait, you went to the person who you knew would deny
mm-hmm.
it. Like he was going to say, oh, yeah, I'm
yeah,
touching her.
I'm
abusing her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
You
know, sometimes.
Say anything?
Right. It's because they don't want to really know. It's something that they're not prepared to deal with. And the best way to do it is to not deal with it. And
right.
if they can say, well, I asked them and they told me no,
right.
in their minds, that's justification
that's
for them
it.
Not to
right.
have to deal with it.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And then my dad, and I don't want to keep, because I'll be on a call myself on the 11th. With the same team, but hosting.
Wait, you'll be on the call on the 11th?
I am. I'm going to be on another show, Healing Rage, I believe it is. I'm going to be on another call. I've asked to be a speaker on it. But anyway, just wanted to say one more thing. When my dad, to this day that I know of, has not confronted my abuser to this day. And my abuser was a stepbrother of mine. But my dad would go to his house. He would just, as if that's his good child, he enjoys having dinner with him and everything. And it's just like everything is still okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it does not hurt any less. It doesn't
right.
matter how
no, it
old
doesn't.
You are. It doesn't,
yeah, it doesn't
hurt any less that your parent was never there or was not there to protect you. And then, you know, my dad was like, because I asked him, I said, well, why haven't you ever confronted him? And he said to me, you waited until he was out and married before you said anything to me. So he kind of like put the blame back on me.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. As to why I never told him. And it's like I waited too late to tell him. You know, so that's just the way of, you know, that's just the way it is with some parents.
Yeah,
and when I told my parent, my mom, when I was 28, you know, my sisters were there, well, my older sister, and basically they just told me, you know, well, since it happened so long ago, forget about it. And that was the response I got. And it was like, really?
But, you can't.
But at that time, I didn't know that, you know, she had been molested as well until a few years later. So it was like, you know, they wanted me to do the same thing they were doing, which was keeping it quiet, just living with it and not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, but God, you know, he had another plan for me. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
And so, you know, I've made, you know, a decision to just keep, you know, speaking out. I don't care who I upset.
Amen,
but,
honey.
That's right.
You know,
speak your truth.
The child is suffering, and it gets to a point where, you know, you can't continue to let stuff just go, and your child is being hurt. And
Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay. It just got so quiet all of a sudden. I was like, we're about to start shouting up in here. Then it got quiet. Make sure everyone was still here. But because I actually hear thunder outside, so we may be getting some thunder snow or whatever they call it. But hopefully everything will continue to work because God has this evening. So I'm pretty sure that he'll continue this show. We have quite a few questions from the chat room. And we have another caller on here with a comment. So quite a few now. Another one has jumped on. So I will be getting to all of you in a moment. So So, caller, do you have any closing comments or questions?
I don't. I just thank you, and I'm glad that I decided to call in. I remembered it was at 9, and I was like, oh, it's 9:15. Let me get online and see what the number is, and I do appreciate it so much, and perhaps one day I'll be a guest on your show.
Oh, my goodness. Feel free. Give me a if you're on Facebook, you can find me at, of course, C. Maria Wall, or on the Healing Through Hurt website on the community page there. Free to contact me. This is what this was birthed out of. I created Healing Through Hurt for this, to give those who have been in silence a voice on so many issues. And, oh, what a great show this is for the beginning of 2014, because this is indeed the year of double portions and change. And we cannot move forward, be successful, do anything in life if we are carrying around all of the ghosts from our past and that baggage that we don't need anymore. So this is so invigorating. This is so enlightening and lifting to be here. So I thank you so much for sharing your story, and you are absolutely right. We will get together soon, and I will have you back so that we can delve deeper into passion, purpose, and power as well. So thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Now, we're going to move on to the chat room. We have some comments there, and then we're going to come back, caller 7284, and caller 6920. I will be coming back to you in that order. As soon as I read the comments over here on Facebook from the chat room for Cheryl, I will be right back. So I'm going over there now. Okay, Star in the chat room. She writes, when was the first time Cheryl spoke out about her abuse in a group of people, and how did it make her feel after she spoke about it? We may have lost Cheryl. Okay. Cheryl? We may have lost our guest for a moment. As I said, I know here we're having some thunder outside. I don't know what's going on in her neck of the woods, but hopefully she'll be back on in a moment. So while we're waiting for Cheryl to come back on, for those of you who would like to come on board in the chat room and you're logged in as guest, get on the call query or join me over on the Facebook group, Healing Through Hurt. You can also post your questions there. Or you can call in 646-478-4726 to be on air. Cheryl, it would appear that we have lost Cheryl. Hopefully, she'll be able to call back in and get back on in a moment. But until then, let me give you some information on some of our upcoming guests for the new 2014 season. Next week, my very special guest is the activator, Lucinda Cross. So many of you, I'm sure, on the line, you know Lucinda. You have been to her events. You know power she brings to all of us. And, you know, I was listening to a show, maybe it was yesterday, and one of the things that the guest had said was that we can always learn from someone else. I'm here. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been in the speaking realm for a long time. My background is in media, television production. Then I had come into radio, of course. But I'm still learning from each and every person, like the caller who was just on. I'd love to have her on the program. You can hear me. give me a call back, or your phone is on mute, maybe. I don't know what's going on. I can see you in the call query. So to all of our listeners, bear with me while I figure out what happened to Cheryl. So we will be back in a moment. I'm going to try to reach out to her. So give me one moment, and then I'll be right back on the line. Okay, everyone, just a quick update. I'm going to try to call Cheryl back because it would appear that I have lost her on the line. Please bear with me. Don't go anywhere. We have a little more than an hour left in our show, so I'm going to try to get her back on the line as soon as possible. So I will be back with you in a moment.
You have reached the voicemail box of 8323666920. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
All righty. I am back. For those of you who are still on the line, I did attempt to give Cheryl a call, and it went directly to voicemail. So hopefully, if she was calling from a cell phone, she is will be able to call back in a moment. But for those of you who are on the line and you have a story to tell, I'm going to bring you on right now, because for the callers, for the people who put their comments in the chat room when Cheryl returns, I will be sure to answer your questions. So for those of you who are in the call query and you have a story right now, I'm going to bring you on air to see if you would like to share while we wait for Cheryl to come back online. This is live radio, and sometimes if it can happen, it will. But you know what? This is a great show, and while we're waiting for Cheryl, I'm going to let you come on board and share your story, because that's what this show is all about. So, caller 7284, while we're waiting for our guest to come back on, we're going to keep bringing you on so that you can share your story, and when Cheryl returns, she will be able to respond. So, caller 7284. You are live on air. Hello, Carla.
Well, hello,
how are
dear.
You?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm great.
This is Katrina Hunter here, and I'm just calling to – I'm so sorry I just bumped into the table here, but I guess in all my excitement to get in and to talk to you, but I'm calling to, first of all, compliment the show. This has been a very exciting show for me, in that it's a blessing to hear that everyone is sharing their stories and doing exactly what God has called them to do, and that's to contribute to healing our world one person at a time and using their voice to do so. So I do appreciate what you're doing here on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your kind words. It's always good to hear that I'm doing, you know, this is my passion. So it's always good to hear that it's working. So,
yes, absolutely. And we I share your passion. I too am a survivor of childhood abuse, sexual molestation, and domestic violence as well, by way of my first marriage. So, so the conversation and the tips that you all were sharing in terms of paying attention to your children. Those things are very valuable. I am not a parent, but my part that I, even though I do agree with all of what was said there by parents, I do want to contribute in addition to that from the domestic violence standpoint. My story is a fairly lengthy one, so since I am not the guest on the show at this time, which I would like to be in a future time, and I'll get with you on that.
Okay.
But I will say that my journey, I was molested from between the ages of 4 and 6 years old, and I was one who suffered in silence. There are statistics out there that say that 25% of the children who are molested, or 75%, I'm sorry, they do tell. Well, why I was one of the 25% who never told, because I was molested by an uncle who happened to be my mother's brother on an almost day-to-day basis. And a lot of people stop and ask me, how could that have possibly happened? Well, I was one of those kids who never went to kindergarten. My grandmother was my babysitter, and my uncle lived with my grandmother. So she would leave us alone every day while she went across the street to watch her programs or her soap operas with her friend. And while, left alone with him, I would be molested every day. And for years, I lived in the fear that if I told anybody, he was going to kill my parents, which was the story he told me. And so wow. It led to a lot of things, low self-esteem, doubting myself, and sure enough, my personality turned from being a vibrant 4-year-old to a very, very introverted child. I grew up escaping a lot, becoming invisible through reading.
Mm-hmm.
And being the youngest of 5 children, a lot of attention was not paid to that. So it is very important to pay attention to your children, because just because they are off in a room buried in a book, that doesn't mean that they're just naturally bookworms. That could be a clue of escapism, which was my case.
Right.
But getting back to the domestic violence part, over the course of my life, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out who I was, trying to gain the protection that I felt like I didn't have, and trying to get the love that I thought that I didn't have. And it led from one bad relationship to the next, because I had become so accustomed to accepting treatment that was toxic or not good for me, and I ended up in an abusive marriage. And it's very important that people, your listeners out there, realize that just because a person is in a marriage and the marriage happens to be abusive, in our society, people don't want to get involved. They say, well, that's a married couple, I don't want to get involved. But if you have a family member or a loved one who you notice is isolated from everybody else, isolated from the family, that they seem to be being controlled by the other person, they're never around, that might be a clue that something might be going on. In my particular case, I never told anybody, but, I was terrified to tell anybody, and had I thought I had the support or the help, or the voice to say something, perhaps things would have been different, So paying attention to the children is one thing, and it's much needed, but pay attention to your loved ones, that are especially young individuals that are in marriages, because I happened to elope at the age of 18, trying to grab hold to somebody that I thought loved me, because I didn't love myself. And I ended up in an abusive marriage at 18 years old, and and those around me just turn a blind eye to it. You know,
right.
They turn a blind eye to the black eyes and to the bruises, and even, you know, seem to believe the lies. And it wasn't until after I got out of the marriage and finally began to heal that those around me would say things like, oh, well, we knew that you were just making that up, or we knew that that wasn't the truth, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, this man could have killed me.
Right.
So, again, I appreciate, you know, your platform and what you're doing to help to heal the world and to give those of us who have survived a voice that can help to encourage and inspire and motivate those who are searching for their voice to come forward and to know that they're not alone, because it's much needed.
Well, thank you so much. And if I'm not mistaken, Cheryl is back with us. Cheryl, are you there?
I'm here.
There she is.
Hi, Cheryl.
Did you say,
hi,
now,
Cheryl.
Caller, did you say your name is Katrina?
Yes, I'm Katrina Hunter.
From
hi, Katrina.
Georgia?
Hmm?
From Georgia?
Yes, yes. This is Katrina Hunter. I'm the CEO and founder of Project Ugly. You've Got to Love Yourself.
Yes, it is I.
And I'm trying not to talk too long because, you know, as education, us folks in education, we can be some long-winded individuals. So,
oh, my goodness. Hey, girl, thank you so much
Hi.
For calling in.
Hi.
Katrina, she's another person who, when we had first met, we had so much in common. Didn't know about all of this, but we have such, we're almost like kindred spirits, and we do a lot of the same things. And at one point, I believe I had sent you my show that I did that was, of course, UGLY. And,
yes, that's me. It was so funny. It was just like... It was so funny because, and then, you know, because I have a private group where I help to motivate women, not necessarily women that have been abused, but just women that are trying to get their voice back and to, you know, live their best life, and you send me a message like, okay, now, I know good and well, because I think I had a truth be told or testimony,
right.
One of those days,
mm-hmm.
And you were like, now, you know, this just cannot be.
Yep. So, Cheryl, if you have sense, Dr. Katrina, you need to get with her. She's another power player in this game, so especially with your new book coming out. And
yes, it will be out in March. And as I was listening to you, Cheryl, we have so much in common because you know, I was molested between the ages of 4 to 6, but then I went on to get into an abusive marriage and some other toxic relationships. But the thing that really you know, provoked me to call or inspired me to call was when you talked about being 28 years old and telling the family, you know, and it was 28. My turning point came when I was 28 years old, and I was like, oh, my goodness, what is really happening here? This is really, you know, God-inspired, you know. And so, you know, I'll be glad to share with you guys at a later time my turning point at 28 years old. But just the time frame really, really resonated with me. So, you know, I really appreciate you and congratulate you on using your voice to share your story to inspire so many.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, we definitely must connect, definitely.
That's what this is all about, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want all of my listeners to know that you are not alone. You are not alone. All you have to do is reach out, and somebody, myself, Dr. Katrina, Cheryl, there's so many people, and so many people writing right now, Cheryl, so I need to start reading all of the comments from the chat room as well. on Facebook.
Okay.
I said, nobody leave because she's going to come back.
Yes, I was in queue. I was like trying to get messages to you. I'm like, the call was disconnected.
Well, I will tell you all. And it's so funny because there are people that are coming back into the Facebook chat room and they're saying, oh, it's you. And I'm like, yes, I am the mediator, C. Maria Wall. That is me. This is me for all of you. Hi. So some of you are a little bit confused as to who the host is of the show. I'm like, yeah, that would be
wow.
me. And the good part is to all of our listeners, as you can see, no matter what we've been through, we can still smile and we can still
yes.
laugh.
Yes. That's
and
important.
It does. It is. It does. It means so much that we can do this and do it honestly. So
yes.
thank you so much for calling in. I'm about to run over here to the Facebook page and get these comments and questions. And well, I'll talk to you soon. So.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thank you. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katrina.
Okay. We are going over to the Facebook now.
Okay.
So to all of the people on Facebook, we're going to pick up where we left off. Star. Star Williams asked, when was the first time Cheryl spoke out about her abuse in a group of people, and how did it make her feel after she spoke about it?
The first time I spoke at a youth event at a church, and I was a ball of nerves, and I was still in that process of the healing. And so even when I spoke about it, there was still some emotional going on. So I did a lot of crying when I talked, but it was rejuvenating, I guess you could say, because
mm-hmm.
I did it, you know, because I tried everything not to do it, you know, gave every excuse, but once I was done with it, you know, I felt good to even just express how I felt in front of a lot of young people, just people, period. And so, yeah, it felt good, you know, but
mm-hmm.
it still took me, you know, some time to continue and to, you know, do it more often. But the first time, I was real nervous and just still, you know, emotional wreck, but I got through it. And I was proud of myself because, you know, I really fought myself, you know, trying not to do it and everything, you know, excuses after excuse, but I knew that I had to. So I was proud of myself that I pushed past all those emotions and how I felt because I know that, you know, my story was going to help somebody else. So,
and another question from Destined Greatness is what is it that you look to accomplish with your organization of Hope, and how do you want to impact the lives of others?
My main goal with my foundation, Life of Hope After Abuse, is to bring awareness, prevention, and we also help send children as well as adults to counseling. My organization will fund however many sessions that person needs to get the help that they need to deal with it, and also do mentorship. Just being a support to those who are, you know, just felt like, who feel like, you know, they are by themselves. So our main goal is just to bring awareness, prevention, and just keep it on people's minds because, I mean, it's happening daily. And it's happening so much more than people want to realize. And so my organization, mm-hmm. you know, we do events and just keep it out in the community, you know, and just hoping to get the communities and the churches and our cities and stuff to just come together and speak out about it and not be so quiet. And to the point where, you know, if one speaks about it, you know, somebody else has their back, and we, you know, and it's just like a chain reaction, you know. We're just going to do it and not, you know, keep sweeping it under the rug like we've been doing.
And let me go through the query again. Okay, Star Williams writes, thank you for your response. That's what I wanted to know, is if you were proud of your decision and you answered the question. So Star says thank you for that.
You're welcome, Star. Thank you for the question.
And let's see. I have another comment here. Destined Greatness writes, awesome, Cheryl Roberts. Any way that DestinyEmpower.net can help you, just let me know. This is a message that needs to be taken all over the world to make a difference. So that's Destined Greatness. You can come back on. You'll be able to see all of these messages when the show ends. And
thank you, Destin.
Now, there's one of the callers is speaking to me, of course, in the chat, and I'm going to bring her back on because I don't know if you've heard about her upcoming event, but caller 7755, I'm bringing you back online to tell us who you are and all about your event. So caller 7755, welcome back to Healing Through Her.
Thank you very much. Thank you. My name is Diana Knox Cooper, and I am actually an author of my newly released book titled Hate It Without a Cause. And in that book, I talk about the abuse that I suffered as a child, my teenage years, my adult life, and how God just took me through the healing process from the abuse that I encountered. I've been asked to be a guest on the show. It's called Healing Rage, and RAGE stands for Rape and Abused Girls Everywhere. And the founder of that agency is Ms. Yerwanda Walker. And she's going to be hosting a healing call on next Saturday, January the 11th at 10 a.m. and that's Central Standard Time. So if you're in the Eastern, it's going to be 9 a.m., but it's 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time.
Well,
and
well,
on
wait,
there,
wait.
I'll be...
If it's 10 a.m. Central, it's going to be 11 Eastern.
So it'll be 11, so I've got my times mixed up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So they are 1 hour...
Yes.
Behind us?
In front.
Right?
We're ahead. We're the furthest ahead. We're 3 hours ahead of Pacific and one ahead of Central.
So if it's 10 o'clock their time, it's going to be 11.
If it starts at 10 o'clock your time, it starts at 11 o'clock my time. I'm in Maryland. So it would start 11 o'clock my time.
Okay. So let me, I apologize for that because I was thinking, because I know Central Time is going to be at 10. I'm in Georgia. It's going to be 11 for me?
11.
Is that right? Okay, because I put 9 o'clock on my calendar. So I still had the time wrong. So it's 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 10 o'clock Central Time.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
You're welcome.
So, but anyway, that's going to be Saturday, January the 11th, and it's 10 a.m. Central Time and 11 Eastern Time, and I'm not sure what the Pacific Time is.
It'd be 8.
9 or 8?
It would be 8.
Okay. I need
to learn these time zones, I tell you. Because I surely had written 9 o'clock on my calendar. So I would have been 2 hours ahead of time. Okay.
But well, anyway, it's good to be early.
Yes.
Well, okay. I wanted to bring you back on for that and let Cheryl know as well because, again, there's power in numbers. So the more that we support one another, of course, the more people we can reach out to and help. So thank you for coming back on and sharing that information. And with quite a few of the listeners, I will be getting back with you later on about being a guest on the show. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, Cheryl,
yes,
now we're back. I think we're caught up, I think. I'm running back and forth between the chat rooms and to see if anyone else is posting anything new. And there was some more. I just have to scroll through all of this. But right now, you have a book coming out soon.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
The book is called From Victim to Vessel, Pushing Past Pain to Walk in Purpose. I had been, like, I guess, writing and dibbing and dabbling in it, but just afraid to, I guess, write about it because of, you know, it's going to be hitting home to some of my family members. So I was just warring with that, you know. I didn't want to offend anyone or get anyone upset, but, you know, God said it was time to write your book. And so he gave me the dates and everything, and it's like, okay, God, started writing. And it's basically my journey through my healing process, and how I came out and where I am now. And so, and also, actually one of my nieces that is very close to me, she has a portion of her story in the book as well. So I'm excited to even have her a part and to even to speak about her, her abuse. And so, I'm excited about, you know, this, and, you know, and just can't wait until, you know, it comes out and get everybody to buy it. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah, so, yes, I'm excited. So.
Where will it be on sale?
It will be Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. And you can also go to my website, which is www.hopeafterabuse.org, and you can order it from there as well once we get it on sale and everything. Again, that's www.hopeafterabuse.org.
And we have Dr. Katrina C. Hunter writes, thank you very much, Cheryl Roberts, for sharing you are healing the world. And she also writes, amazing call. Blessings to you both. So thank you so much, Dr. Katrina, for being here
this
evening.
Thank you, Dr. Katrina.
I told you,
baby. Bless you.
I told you it was going to be fast-paced and we still do have a lot of callers in the query. If you have a question or a comment, please press the number 1 on your phone to let me know that you would like to be on air with my special guest, Cheryl E. Roberts. Call in. Share your story. You don't have to give your name if you don't want to, but we love to hear from you. That is what this show is all about. It is about us sharing, becoming transparent, and helping others to heal. Because so many people, when we're going through this type, and Cheryl, I'm sure you'll agree, when we're going through this type of situation, for whatever reason, we feel as though it's not happening to anyone else in the world but us.
And you feel like you're just by yourself.
Yep. And so many people, the first thing we hear is, you've never walked a mile in my shoes. And my question is, my comment is, who do you think is paving the road? It's us.
Right. Yes, that is so good. I'm going to use that one. Mm-hmm.
Feel free.
Yes, that was powerful. Who do you think is paving?
Who do you think is paving the road?
Yes, that's a good one. Yes.
I think my last show that I had done for my Sunday morning inspiration, my word was enough. For 2014, it's enough.
Yeah.
Before you can become successful in all of that, you have to say enough. Enough pulling around the empty baggage. Enough allowing the ghost of your past to rob you of your joy. Enough. Enough excuses.
Yes.
Enough.
Yes.
So for all of the listeners, as you can see, we can smile again and mean it. We can bond. We have this bond that cannot be broken. Because one thing that I've learned when I became a statistic is the fact that for those of us who have gone through it, we're the only ones who understand it like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And when that bond is developed, there's no breaking it. And I'm learning more talking to the callers tonight and speaking to several over here in the chat room, and I'm still amazed that people didn't know that I am C. Maria Wall, but that's hilarious to me. I'm like, yeah, well, it's so good to meet everybody. Thank you so much. Hi.
Hi. Hello.
You know, hello.
Wow. How nice.
You know, it's like, oh, that's so cute. We're going to have lunch or something one day, ladies, so you all will know who I am. But, wow.
Exactly.
Wow, this has been such a powerful show. It's just amazing to me. And what would you say, in your opinion, is a good roadmap to begin the healing process? We've already spoken about the fact that, you know, sometimes, as we've heard tonight, the people who are in our lives who are supposed to protect us tend to turn a blind eye.
Uh-huh.
And they try to get out of it while putting the blame on someone else in many ways. So we know what it's like to be alone and not have anyone to protect and support us. And for those of you who are not very versed on abuse and rape and things of that nature, the effects are worse when these types of things happen, when it involves someone who you know, meaning a spouse, a lover, a family member.
Mm-hmm.
The effects are worse than had it happened by an absolute stranger. So you want to know how to come out of that storm, out of that darkness. Each one of us, and that's the beauty of doing this, because although our end was the same, we were abused, we were raped, we were mistreated, we were ignored, we were invisible. although we all are coming from that same place, each one has a different recipe for how we've come to this point. So, Cheryl, what is your roadmap that you'd like to share with the listeners for there to begin?
Well, one of my things that I had trouble with was trusting somebody. And I began to pray. God sent somebody that would support me, who would love me, who wouldn't judge me. And he did that by, you know, sending the young lady. And I would say just find somebody, pray for God, you know, that he sends somebody that will support you, that won't judge you, and that will go alongside of you. Because you may feel alone and you may think you can do it by yourself, but always having someone there with you, it's such a big help. And, you know, get the counseling. You know, don't, you know, say, I'm not doing the counseling, that's not for me. You know, counseling for me was the best thing, like I said before, to do, because it gave me different things and different avenues to use when things got really bad, or when I couldn't focus, or when the memories and the you know, were so powerful and that's all I saw. There were two that were given to me for me to handle. And then I began to get deeper in the Word of God. That was my foundation. And so the more I studied, the more I prayed to him, the easier the counseling sessions began, because I knew my strength was in him. And so it was, I guess my mindset had to go to the Word and stay in the Word and just, you know, embrace God and just, you know, do the things that's necessary to get the help and take the counseling and the process seriously. Because, you know, I started the counseling, but, you know, at first I was kind of leery, so I wasn't really being truthful. And so that's one thing you have to be, you know, regardless of how the abuse made you feel, how you reacted to it. You have to be truthful with it all. You know, you can't say this happened and then leave other stuff out that you don't want to deal with. You have to be truthful about it all. So, you know, just be real and just talk about it. As much as you can, talk about it. Find that friend and just talk. Sometimes there were times when she didn't even have to say anything, just me, just talking, just her being there. You know, I felt that, you know, I had that support. I was loved. So that was basically how I got through it, just my foundation in the Word of God, just being getting closer to him and having that support system.
Yeah, and I'd like to add that there's no shame in getting the help. So we have to humble ourselves and know that the shame comes in the fact that every second that we stay in silence, we give our abusers and our perpetrators power.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, and in the chat, Diana Knox Cooper, she says, forgiveness is the key to your healing. And that's for a whole nother day. I'm going to bring back the whole panel of our callers, and we're going to talk about that, because I get that question a lot, because most people, and there's probably a lot of new callers here this evening, but for those of you who have been following my story, you know that I speak a lot about the power of healing, because so many people want to know, because of the circumstance that I'm in, how is it that I even survive from day to day? So maybe I'll do another show and bring you back and several of our callers this evening, and we can have a panel discussion about forgiveness and how to move forward.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
you know,
That's
a
vital.
Lot of people are clueless.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know how to forgive and move on. And that's a big part of this. But we're at the very beginning right now. We're in the transparency phase where we're sharing our stories. And to be honest, I am absolutely amazed. For instance, when Dr. Katrina called in, I had no clue that, you know, she was a member of the Survivors Club. You know, I had no clue.
Right, right.
And what does the abused look like, and what does an abuser look like?
Mm.
That can be a topic for our panel discussion. You know,
mm-hmm.
what do we look like? You know,
you can see on my my Facebook page, my cover page, this is what a survivor looks like, and my picture is there.
Yep. And I have, you know, on my YouTube channel, I did. When I did my promo video for my first book, I had, it was totally done in silence. It was like a silent movie. But my question was, what does the face of the abused look like? You know, and it asked, is it the little child next door who runs up to you with that big smile on their face? Is it your neighbor, your coworker, family member? And at the end, I said, you know, I know exactly what it looks like. It looks just like me.
Yeah. And that's something, because I did a video that's like that, too. I'm tickled. I'm tickled. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's amazing. It is amazing what can happen. And, you know, for our listeners, for the listeners this evening, I want you to understand something. We are here.
Mm-hmm.
Deep down inside, you want to be free. You want to spread your wings and fly. You want to experience joy again, feel safe again. And, you know, it's a process. It's a process to learn how to trust, how to love, how to be loved. It's a process, and it's baby steps. And, Cheryl, I'm sure that you'll agree with this, even now, our healing is still continuing. It's a day-to-day thing.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most
It's a day-to-day thing.
It's a process. I mean, but it doesn't control it. It doesn't control me like it used to. It doesn't put me in a fetal position to where I can't live, I can't move, I can't think. You know, I have the power to say, you know what, it happened, but I'm going to move forward. You know, but... You know, it took me a while, and a lot of people, you know, I've met a few of women who they want to heal, but they want a quick fix. They want the process to be quick, and it's not. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it will be quick, it'll be easy. No, it's going to be a hard process, but it's going to be a worthy process. You have to go through it. You have to. And, you know, and a lot of people don't want to deal with it because they don't want to go through the process. They want, you know, God, heal me right now, and I can move on. Because I was the same way. I was like, okay, God, you know what? How about you just, you know, zap it, you know, take the pain away, and we move on. But that's not the way God wanted it. He wanted me to go through it. He wanted me to feel the pain. He wanted me to go through the pain so I can know that he was the one who brought me up. And then on that other side of pain was my purpose. But I had to go through that process. You never abort the process. You never abort the process. You have to go through the process to get to your purpose.
Right. So true. And, of course, in the chat room, Deirdre Harshaw is saying, great show. Hold on a moment. Let me catch this. It's scrolling. Great show. Excellent tips. More awareness needs to be done, and that we're doing something great. So thank you so much for your words of encouragement. You know,
thank you.
Although so many people look to us as their beacons of light, it's mm-hmm. always good to get that positive reinforcement.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
So, you know, I thank each and every one of you. And I mean, this call query has been jumping. And to the guests in the chat room, if you have a question or a comment, for those of you who are logged in, feel free to type it, and I will read it for you on air. And to our guests who are still listening in the call query, press the number 1 on your phone if you'd like to leave a question or comment. And, of course, for those guests who are actually in the chat room here in the talk show as guests, you can give us a call at 646-478-4726 to be on air and to participate in the chat process, because when you're logged in as a guest, you cannot communicate in the chat room. So tonight, time is winding down here, so what do you feel someone listening can do right now, tonight, if they wanted to start on a change right now? To like for me, for instance, I'd say, you know what, if you're in a safe place, take a hot bath, relax,
mm-hmm.
try to do some breathing exercises, lock yourself in the bathroom, breathe in, breathe out. You know, try to get your stress level down for a little while, because even a few moments can help while you're still in the midst of your storm.
And a lot of times for me, writing, journaling helps me a great deal. So write down your thoughts, what you're feeling, you know. Just write. I mean, it may come out as gibberish, but write it down. Scream if you have to, because my pillow was a tool for me to hit a lot of times, because, you know, at first I started with walls, and, you know, I began to hurt myself. But then, you know, scream into a pillow, you know, get that frustration out, because it, you know, all that stuff built up. You know, it comes out in different ways. So, you know, if you're at home alone, get a pillow and just scream in your pillow. And if that doesn't help, I mean, you know, you can always email me. It comes to my phone. You know, I talk to people all day, every day, different young girls who are not so comfortable with going to counseling, you know, every day or what have you, and they just need somebody to, you know, talk to. I mean, you can email me, text me, Facebook me. It doesn't even matter. You know, that's what, you know, God put me here for, you know, to be, you know, that help to somebody. So my email is Cheryl, Sherylll, at hopeafterabuse.org. You can email me, or you can send me a message on Facebook, Cheryl Roberts with an S, Sheryll Roberts, or you can go to my Facebook page, the fan page, Life of Hope After Abuse Foundation, and just send me a message. And, you know, I have counselors on board that I send people to. So, I mean, you know, there is help out there. So never think that you are by yourself and there is no place to go. There are so many places that are out there who can get you the help you need.
And we have a comment in the show chat room from OJohn328. I totally enjoyed the show. I do agree that forgiveness is the key, because as was said, if forgiveness doesn't take place, then that person still has power over you.
Mm-hmm.
And God commands us to forgive as Christ forgives us. That's the true healing. And I'd like to say to our listeners that when we talk about healing, does not mean that you're going to let that abuser back into your world. That
right.
healing frees you.
Right.
That healing
right.
allows you to be free.
Right.
Caller 9903, I will be bringing you on air in just a moment. I'm going to run back over here to Facebook, make sure that I'm all caught up on the questions and comments there. And it looks like I am. This is interesting. So
let me say something about the forgiveness. You know, for me, that was one of the hardest things I had to do.
Yep.
And so I knew I couldn't do it by myself, so I began to pray for a desire to forgive, because I
right.
know in my heart, in my humanness, I wasn't trying to forgive nobody. You know, he hurt me, you know, I'm going to hold this. But I knew for me to live the life that God had purposed me to live, I knew I had to forgive. So I began to pray for a desire to forgive.
Right.
And it wasn't overnight. I'm not going to lie to you. It took me a while, but once I did, it was like a weight that had been lifted, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, I began to look at me differently. I began to love the woman I had become, and you know, and it was just like the freedom that it gives you.
Right.
You know, to forgive. So, you know, that's very vital. Forgiveness, oh, my gosh, you have to move on
right.
and to live the life that God has for you. You must forgive.
And, you know, it's odd that you put it that way when you first started speaking, because in my latest book, Silent Noise Lip Service, I have a piece called Forgiveness. And the very first line is, forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do.
Yes, God.
It is
yes,
one of the hardest things to do.
Yes.
Trust me, people.
Yes.
It is
it
so
is.
Hard. Words cannot describe. When you have been hurt, when you have been
yes.
mutilated and violated and degraded,
yes.
and then
yes.
you try to walk in the light, and it's
yes.
like, forgive? Are you kidding
mm-hmm.
me?
You have to be kidding me, right?
It is.
No.
Mm-mm. It
but
is.
Yeah,
so
you need the strength of God to
yes.
forgive.
Yes.
That's,
trust
that's,
me, people. When yeah. I put together the new show and Cheryl and several of the other callers are coming back, trust me, you're going to hear different sides of forgiveness and how we manage to do it.
Yes.
Through our storms, in our storms, you have to forgive. And we know that so many of you listening are probably rolling your eyes and shaking your head and
mm-hmm.
mad as all get out right about now, talking about you're not going to forgive anybody. Well, let me tell you something. Until you forgive, and when I say forgive, I mean full circle. Forgive yourself, forgive
right.
your abusers,
right.
forgive your perpetrators, forgive your family members, forgive everyone. You will be stuck in that vicious cycle of heartache
yes.
and pain until
yes.
you decide to break it. And in order for you to
yep.
break that chain, you have to forgive.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So caller 9903, you are live on air.
Hi.
Hello, caller.
This is Terry. We're talking to Terry. Somebody sent me an invite, so I tried to make it a show. I was out and about, and it came to my phone. I was like, okay, let me weigh in on this conversation, and I think that we're talking about healing and forgiving. I did a show just before the holidays about he had his pride and she had her pain, and I would say this.
Mm-hmm.
We all have been through something in our life, no matter if it's been a relationship, family, whatever, where it takes forgiveness. First of all, you have to understand order. And order is, a lot of times we say things that we think is the right thing to say. And I had to learn just recently when I went to God, because me and him have our personal relationship, like you have yours and somebody else have theirs, but I had to go to God in honesty. And in truth, And honesty and truth was not what everybody wanted me to say. It was really what it was. And when I found that I could go to God and say, Lord, you know what? I don't have enough faith for this, what you're asking me to do. I'm angry with this person for what he did to me or she did to me. When I'm able to go to him and say, I don't have enough faith, because many people say, well, you know, you speak that, it would, you know, you speak those things and you actually become those. But I believe first you have to be honest with God. I have to go to him and tell him, look, I love this man more than I loved you. Because if I didn't, then I wouldn't have turned my back on you. I would have listened to when you gave me the signs to stop messing with him or whatever. But a lot of times we have to go through life to understand and learn our lessons. And through those lessons, there is a time that you have to forgive. But you have to be taught how to forgive.
Right.
And so it's easy for me to tell you should forgive this person from doing whatever, because that hurt that you're feeling, I'm not feeling. And it's easy for me to tell you not to do something if I'm not feeling it. So I'll say about hurting, I find so many people, the next show that we're doing is called Sex Addiction. And I had a prayer in my house last week where there were so many people that came to my house, and because I know them, over 50% that sat in my living room had sex addiction that I knew of, some form of sex addiction. And so what I'm saying is that you have people that have been hurt, molested as kids, and at 7 years old, it's stuck. They may be 40, but they still stuck at 7 because they have never been healed and delivered. You have people that's been raped. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. When they start to speak, you can tell that they're not healed, because God, not in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, you can tell that they haven't been healed. Because when you really forgive a person, now I'm not saying that you're going to go out to eat with the person next week. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that when you truly forgive a person, if you see them, God should take that thing away. If you still got that thing in you, you ain't really forgave like you thought you forgave. Or if every time you see that person, there you go, you guys are having that same argument, you really haven't forgiven that person. And it truly takes God to heal you from things that has happened in your life like that. So I will say, for me, I've been hurt, I've been disappointed, people have done whatever, however they wanted to do. But I'm going to tell you, when God gave me his peace in my life, no matter what somebody says or do, it reminds me of what God says I am. And it reminds me of the peace that he gives me. My house is peaceful, my life is peaceful, and I choose to be that way because I have to cry. I have to scream, holler. I have to do all that.
Right.
I have to get my relief. But once I got that, I was able to go before God and allow to heal and deliver me in that area to where those same people can come. I can break bread with them. Now, everybody can't do that, and I'm not telling everybody to do that. But I can break bread with a person that has hurt me so horribly bad, because in my heart, I truly forgive them, and I'm able to pray for them in that area.
Well, I think
so. I will tell you about healing. It is very vital for you to be able to move on in life effectively. You must be healed by God.
Truly. Well, I thank you for that. We have one more caller and one more comment. We're down to 3 minutes in our show. So thank you so much, caller, for sharing that with us again. Call back when we do the next show. Thank you so much.
I feel real.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Doctor, let me go back over here to the chat really quick. Dr. Kathy L. Louise Sanders wrote, great show. She left a comment earlier, but she can't find the post, and neither can I. I'm sorry for that. She is, however, inspired by the platform to help men and women heal, and she says, God bless us. So that's there, and we have one more caller really quickly here. Caller, I lost the caller. I believe I lost her.
Come back.
Her or him. Call back, but we have 2 minutes left in the show, so wait, is this our caller? Hold on a second. Hello? Hello? Well, okay, we tried. We tried. So we're down to 2 minutes. So, Cheryl, any closing words that you'd like to have?
Just I want to encourage, you know, those of you who are listening, if you're going through this type of situation, you know, speak out. Find somebody that you can support, that can support you, that can support you and you can feel comfortable talking. But, you know, don't be silent anymore. You know, there are people out there who will help and can help. And you can reach out to me, like I said earlier. You can email me at Cheryl, S-H-E-R-Y-L-L, at hopeafterabuse.org. Or you can find me on Facebook, Cheryl Roberts, with an S, and leave me a message. Or you can go to my website, www.hopeafterabuse.org, and just reach out to me. We can talk, can message each other, but, you know, get the help that you need because it's out there and you are not alone. So just be encouraged and things will get better.
Thank you so much for being my guest here this evening. This has been a wonderful show. And to caller 8603, we pulled you on air, but you were talking to someone else and we heard background. So thank you so much, people. We have 38 seconds in our show. Thank you for joining me here with my special guest, Cheryl E. Roberts. Get her book, get
Thank
in contact.
You for having me.
This has been a wonderful show. Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening. Have a blessed remainder of your weekend. Have a wonderful week. And remember to pray it and pay it forward. I'm your host, C. Maria Wall, and I will see you back here next week, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, when my guest will be the activator herself, Lucinda Cross. So until then, be well, be blessed, and I pray each and every one of you enough. Thank you.